Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes. I'm joined yet again by Augie. He's like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. Pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay attention to Augie. He's got a lot of smart things to say. And where would we start? Yet again, there's only one game in town, only one place to be, and that's in Washington. Watching the big Don, give out, tariffs, kind of like Victoria Nuland, Augie, giving out cookies at a color revolution. And it's gotten very exciting. It's been very busy. One minute they're on, one minute they're off. I'm doubling them up. I'm taking them down. It's hard to know which way the Don's going to go. And as we said before here on the Moscow Mules, that's what makes him such a showman. That's what makes this such great TV. And we're going to really ask ourselves, who's the most screwed? Well, it turns out that it isn't a country. It's a colony full of penguins. And someone in Internetsville, as per usual, we like to feature the genius, creativity of our viewers. And somebody's put together a really cracker video. Augie, run it.
Yes, Mr. Clarkin.
When frost bites deer and men can't be, our empire stands beside the endless sea.
Yeah. In storm these are the penguins on the island that was only inhabited by penguins. We've got like we massive towers on the big dock.
Let them all up there. I don't give it in.
Hand reached out in shame, and now the world shall learn our name.
Look at the AK, bigger than the
penguins. No more delay.
This is great.
The order stands, we march today.
Could be Greenland. Could be Greenland, Dougie, right? Sons
of the ice. And of course, this is actually a serious business, right? Tariffs can have a huge impact on trade. And that trickles down, of course. It never trickles up the hill. It goes down into ordinary households, ordinary businesses, small, big. And a lot of people could lose their jobs, lose their livelihoods over this, right, Dougie? But guess what? The big Don, whatever he does, the MAGA fans and the MAGA crew, we're fond of the Don here on the Mules to a degree. They're going to say he did the right thing. So if he screws up, it was a plan. If he doesn't, that was a plan. And if he gets it right, it's a plan. If he gets it wrong, that was all a big sort of plan, right? It's all in the plan, right, Augie? And guess what? The big Don says that people are now queuing up, literally, to kiss his ass, begging him to remove these terrible tariffs, which could screw the pooch. Now, there are reports that about 50 countries have knocked on the door quite quietly in the dead of night, asking to do a deal. Probably the Brits, probably the Europeans. But let's have a look at the Don, Augie, doing what he does best, putting it on thick for the media. Run the video, Augie.
Because I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything, sir.
I like the way he added in. I'll do anything, sir. It's like kind of, Oliver. Please, sir, can I have some more?
But you know what, Che? It's actually working. Some countries do line up to kiss his ass. For example, pharmaceutical companies in the European Union are already considering to move their production to the United States.
Big win. And countries like Ireland, my home, are very, very much reliant on foreign direct investment from the USA. You can hear the nails being nibbled up in the government buildings. And while there might be, a queue of 50 countries queuing up to kiss Budan's ass, Augie, there's one, right? Our friends in the East, the boys of the dragon, let's say, they are definitely not queuing up to kiss the big Don's ass. They may say they're going to kick Don's ass. You never know. It's looking like it's going to could get kind of hot and heavy. Remember Taiwan, there's a little bit of history, a little bit of tension between these boys. Now, it didn't help that J.D. Vance, another guy that we're kind of fond of here in the Moscow Mules, may have been a little bit, how would you say, Augie, a little less than diplomatic when it comes to addressing the economic situation between the U.S. and China. He said that basically we borrow money from a bunch of Chinese peasants to buy the stuff that those peasants manufacture. Didn't go down too well with our friends in China. Understandably so. Kind of like an English guy calling us paddies or potato eaters. A Ukro calling the boys Muscali up the road here. Not a good move, JD. I don't think anybody thought that was a smart one. Let's have a look at the quite tongue-in-cheek response, though, from the Chinese. They've really, really, won the gold medal for the re-troll or the back-troll towards the US. It's really, really cracking stuff. Run the video.
Chinese peasants. Peasants.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just...
the Chinese peasants driving around in like space age vehicles.
Yeah. Okay, go on. Have you seen the US subway? Have you seen a Chinese subway? You know?
Now, while, you know, the US view, you know, maybe, you know, in Midwest or on the Rust Belt, people may not know that much about China, the biggest manufacturing economy on Earth, the biggest population on Earth, a country, Yogi, that's really transformed the lives of hundreds of millions of people in the last 20 years. I think Yogi has some numbers which might not run with the whole buying stuff from peasants. Okay, Yogi?
I think, Jay, somebody in the White House hasn't noticed that the times have changed. You see, back in 2000, at the beginning of the century, U.S. trade totaled $2 trillion, which at that time was four times more than China, which traded for around $500 billion. But in the past 25 years, U.S. trade expanded by 167%, while the Chinese trade surged by 1,200%, that is 1,200%, surpassing the United States. And by now, the total trade amounts for $5.3 trillion for the US and $6.2 trillion for China.
Wow, wow. So it's not exactly the best idea tackling them in a trade war, right?
It might come in not very nice for Americans, but you see, Che, the Chinese response to J.D. Vance was also just as racist as his statements.
Well, they're serious numbers, so it's kind of probably not the best idea for either of these countries to engage in a trade war with each other. I don't think there's going to be a particular winner. But, you know, hold on, it hasn't all been the U.S., you know, putting their foot in it, Mr. Vance, you know, a little bit insulting. The Chinese, Oggy, they have been, you know, they haven't been shy about putting the boot into the old Americans, the old stereotypical American, overweight, ignorant, you know, lazy. That's what this kind of stuff infers. Let's have a look at what the Chinese kind of knocked back across the net, if you would like, in response to the peasant stuff. Run the video, Oggy.
This is your average American when they have to work for like a dollar a week in some of the Chinese sweatshop to make that they're complaining about right now. You know, it's kind of, they have a point, right? Come on, they have a point, right, Oggy?
The music is great, you know. The music is so great, you know. It's really good. It's a good troll. The Chinese are good at this, right? Now, you may think we've been a bit unkind to the big Don and Elon. Well, not really. We like to put the boot into the anti-Trump people too. We actually prefer that to putting the boot into the big Don. You may have noticed. Now, I have come across some quite freaky people in my time, Oggy being one of them. But when it comes to Uber freaks, we've begun to classify them here at the Moscow Mules. And Oggy and I are going to play a little bit of Moscow Mules ping pong here with classifications of anti-Trump protesters, right? I'm going to start with one I found, who I think is probably, as far as anti-Trump protesters go, what you would consider a healthy one. Now, look out for the massive swastika on this woman's ass. Yeah. Run the video, Oggy. I mean, so this is it. This is the creative type, you know? Arts and crafts. This, to me, is probably what you would classify as a normal anti-Trump protester. Right, Oggy? That's a normal anti-Trump protester. What do you reckon, Oggy?
I think it's very classy compared to the more insane types of protesters, like this one. Check this out, Che.
Like, what's going on in your brain? It's kind of like a Stephen King brain. So I started with a normal Trump protester, you know, a libtard. You came back, Oggy, with a fruitcake doing a picture of somebody sticking their head up their own ass. And that took a long time to do. I've come up with one, I think, which even by the standards of the libtard sort of battalion, this is certain commander-in-chief level. This is kind of disturbing. Run the video, Oggy. I mean, what's going on in your brain that you would go and do that in public I mean, there's some sort of deficit between reality with these people. These people are not well. Ryan Ruth, anybody? And of course, it's not all about the USA. It's not all about China. The meat in the sandwich, if you like, is, you know, the all irrelevant Europeans, you know, left outside the room, sucking on their pacifier while the big boys went in and discussed Ukraine. The big boys were discussing Ukraine in Istanbul as well, very recently, and they're not even releasing press conferences. And it kind of, it's summed up by something I wrote during the week, which basically was that the Americans and the Russians are talking to each other, and the Europeans are talking to themselves, because nobody wants to listen to what they have to say, because it's so full of shit. Now, when it comes to the tariff war, they've been slapped with 20% across the board, okay? But this isn't the first time that the US has really pulled the EU trousers down and spanked them very hard. I think there was a small little energy project, you may remember it, called Nord Stream, the name we dare not speak, do not speak, who fears to speak of Nord Stream. You know, we all know who blew the thing up. Everybody knows. Tucker Carlson knows, and Mr. Besant knows. Well, you know, Mr. Trump's top aides and negotiators. Fedor went to Kiev to give old Z-Baby a good spanking too. Let's have a look at Tucker and Scott Besant discussing the destruction of Nord Stream. I hate to say I told you so. Mm-hmm. Run the video.
And you know, there was the famous meeting where President Trump told the Europeans, you're insane for building Nord Stream 2. What are you doing? You already get most of your energy from Russia and you're going to double down on it? And they did. And look what happened. So
we blew it up.
Somebody did.
Somebody did. Probably Putin.
he actually went on to say that maybe some Norwegian fishermen crashed into it.
Or two drunk Ukrainians with a half bottle of vodka.
Yeah. Maybe he was a fisherman's friend. And Tucker Carlson has really become, you know, he's become the godfather of common sense, right? Since he came to Moscow and talked about the reality of what's going on here, he's really been a very important voice of sort of common sense and reason, right, Ongi? He's been a guy that's, you know, been unafraid to call out the absolute fantasy of the Biden-esque world, this insane reality that people like Blinky Blinken, you know, Crazy Kamala, and, you know, Sleepy Joe created. It's a fantasy, along with the National Endowment for Democracy, along with USA, creating this false reality about Russia, which only existed in their little think tank fantasist heads. And Tucker's come up with something which I think really defines the whole Blinken age, the whole Biden age. Their foreign policy was idiotic, dangerous, expensive, and it's killed a ton of people in Ukraine. And Tucker said it best when he called America like a 60-year-old dude in a bar trying to hit on the young chicks, or suck in his gut, you know? I wouldn't learn about that. Let's have a look. Run the video, Augie.
I mean, Ukraine, we just eliminated Ukraine. Nobody cares. This was a war against Russia. They hate Russia for a lot of reasons, mostly spiritual. But we lost. And my concern is, because nobody will say that out loud, that we're overstating our power. And in the same way that you sometimes see like divorced 60-year-old guys hitting on young women and don't realize that the young women think this is like absurd. You're like an old man. Why, you really think I'm going to sleep with you? But the 60-year-old guy hasn't readjusted to the reality of his present condition. He still thinks he's 25. Do you see what I'm saying? And he humiliates himself. That can happen at the level of nations where, you know, you think you can affect outcomes that you actually don't have the power to bring about. And so that's called hubris. And that's how empires get destroyed and populations vaporized.
Yeah. He kind of, you know, what can you add to that? Except I'm not 60. I don't hit on your women. Of course, I'm not interested at all in that kind of, right, Augie?
Yeah, he's only interested in me, bitches.
And talking about Ukraine, it becomes more and more apparent as Zelensky kind of digs his heels in. He's not friends with the US anymore, you know? He took all your cash, you know, billions and billions of dollars. I don't know where the money went. I don't know who got the money. Well, I didn't get no monies. You know, we heard that bullshit from him as well recently. But now he doesn't even want to be friends with the US anymore because he got new friends. And his new friends are in Brussels. Yeah, place I was recently. And, you know, because of his new friends in Brussels, he's now saying to America, I'm going to buy the weapons from you. I want to buy $50 billion worth of weapons from you. So when you take money from somebody and then buy something off them with the money that they gave you, there's a name for that, right, Angie? It's called a Ponzi scheme. Yeah, for sure. And this is what Ukraine has absolutely become. But it's only become a Ponzi scheme, of course, because certain people are making a ton of money from it. And it's not as if they're even trying to hide it. Let's have a look at the modus transporticus, I'll say, of some of the elites in good old Ukraine. Yeah, tuna, a nice orange and blue McLaren. Yeah, yeah, a little run around to take the kids to school. You know, head to the shops. You're running low on Moe Chandon. Mm-hmm. Take the McLaren, dear. Yeah, I tuna. This is Ukraine, and this is where your hard-earned dollars are going. Mm-hmm. Run the video, Oggy. I mean, come on. Absolutely crazy. Oggy, these are not exactly, let's say, an old Toyota Corolla or a little Lada. This is not your average four-wheel drive machine, would you say?
Correct. It looks like it's McLaren GT, which is priced around $200,000 per piece.
$200,000. Oh, but that's insane. When we talk about Ukraine, you got to talk about the narco fuhrer, right? The little green goblin, the Bankova bandit, the deluded one, as he's now become known. And it seems, Oggy, that this man has really, really, really lost all sort of contact with reality. We know he's getting isolated within his own political grouping. Yeah. We know he's hunting down his political opposition, but he's also making it up or trying to be funny. We know he's a comedian, but he's a pretty crap one. He's now suggesting that he will trade Belgorod. Yeah, you wouldn't even have heard of Belgorod. I've been to Belgorod. I know all about Belgorod, where he was attacking, kindergartens, playgrounds, schools with checkmate MLRS rockets. You may not know, because now he says that Ukraine controls Belgorod. They don't control Goma Belgorod. They don't control Kursk either, where they lost 70,000 men and tons of equipment that you paid for. The man is definitely slipping into some sort of narco-furo fantasy state. Run the video, Oggy.
Останніми днями все більше заяв і коментарів звучить про те, що в обмін на мир, в обмін на членство НАТО, Україні доведеться віддати частину своєї території. Як ви ставитеся до цих заяв? Що
обмін території?
Так.
Готові обміняти Білград на наше членство в НАТО.
The guy's obviously completely insane. He should be in a mental asylum. But I don't think they're taking on any new commissioners in the EU, are they?
Unfortunately not, Shane.
So you invade Kursk, which he did do, you know. Someone else there invaded Kursk as well. You can't take him. Short guy, about 4 foot tall, little moustache. This kind of guy, can't think of his name. German dude, you know. Anyway. You'd think that you would have followed history and read up on it. Yeah, but anyway, Zelensky ordered the invasion of Russia. You know, easy to get in, not so easy to get out. They got the kicked out of them. They were completely wiped out. Now, the Western media doesn't want to talk about that at all. But we here on the Moscow News, we're more than happy to tell you what happened in Kursk. They got their asses handed to them. And as a result of that, you know, you got to make something else up. So he's making up the stuff about Belgorod. You just pick another area and say, oh, we crossed the border, we stuck a little flag in some dude's farm, and we ran back across. Now we're going to exchange this for NATO membership. The guy is completely mental. Now, that all ties in very nicely, Oggy, to our friends from North Korea, right? We were told by the British press, the CNN guys, that there were thousands and thousands of North Koreans. Now, as we know, and as we said before, Oggy, the Ukraine conflict is the most photographed, videoed, surveilled, satellite imagery. Nearly every soldier has a body cam on, and we didn't get a single video of one of these North Korean soldiers fighting in the trenches. Not one. We didn't see one of the meat assaults. We didn't see one of the waves coming across the hill of North Koreans. And then they suddenly disappeared. But guess who's arrived in their place? Just as the North Koreans head off into the sunset, Oggy, blowing their little bugles a la, Korean War, the Chinese have arrived. That's right. The Ukrainians have suddenly discovered a couple of Chinese dudes, and Zelensky has completely gone into meltdown over it. There are two Chinese soldiers in our country. How many Americans, Canadians, Italians, Irish, French, British, Colombians, Mexicans, are in Ukraine fighting for the Ukrainian army, Yogi?
I don't have the exact number because they're all dead or will be.
Yeah, exactamundo. Nobody seems to give a shit about that. Two Chinese dudes take a wrong turn at Vladivostok and end up in the SMO, you know. So what? It means nothing. But this is all about Augie, the Z-boy desperately trying to pull the US into a direct confrontation with China. Yeah, these two great powers are going to go to war with each other over two motherfuckers whose sat navs don't work and end up in a ditch in Donbass. Give me a break. Run the video.
Мені здається, нам є що говорити з американцями, і будемо вірити, що вони змінять свою позицію, особливо після сьогоднішньої новини. Ми взяли в полон китайських військових на території України. В бой вступили українці на Донеччині, Тарасівка і Білогорівка. Шістьма китайськими військовими, двоє в полоні.
I yet again ask you, when will you start World War III?
So while the Vancouver bandit, the coked-up narco-fuhrer, you know, melts down about two Chinese dudes in Russian uniform, how about this? A busload of, you know, neo-Nazis being trained in Germany by the Bundeswehr, correct? Now, the Bundeswehr is an organization that has a Nazi problem. And guess who was the Minister of Defense in Germany at the peak of this problem and allegedly tried to cover it up? That's right, our friend Ursula von der Leyen. Ursula was Minister of Defense during significant investigations into the display of Nazi imagery, the idolization of Nazi figures from the Wehrmacht in the Bundeswehr. They're training Ukrainian ultra-nationalists. And guess what? They ain't saying to them, you know, calm it down, boys. You know, take off the old Reichsadler. We want you to, you know, keep it down. We know you admire us, for sure. And no, check out what happens on a bus leaving a German military training camp when it's full of Ukros heading back across the border to be turned into fertilizer by the Russian paratroopers. Yes, have a look. A real eye-opener. Run the video, Augie.
Was wollen wir trinken, sieben Tage lang? Was wollen wir trinken, so ein Durst? Was wollen wir trinken, sieben Tage lang? Was wollen wir trinken, so ein Durst? Es wird genug für alle sein.
I don't understand this. Guys, fourth rake lost. Why are you cargo coating this?
It's crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. Yeah? Alles klar, the Fourth Reich is here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Watching all these, you know, neo-Nazis doing their old silly little salutes on their silly little bus, going to die for the Narco-Fuhrer. You know, who are the big cheerleaders for this? Well, one of our friends here on the Moscow Mules, I know Ongi absolutely adores him, is Mr. Goncharenko. Oh, Gonch, he turned up in Crimea. We've shown you him getting a, let's say, a Russian massage of the face in Crimea back in 2014, 2015. A very aggressive, far-right, ultra-nationalist Ukrainian. He's always at the center of everything. Why we should kill Vladimir Putin. Why bombing Moscow would be good for the price of butter. And now, old Goncharenko has now also got a hard-on for Ovechkin. Now, who is Ovechkin? You all know who Ovechkin is. You're Canadian, you're American, you play ice hockey. Everyone knows who Ovechkin is, including my old cousin, who was the captain of the Irish ice hockey team. How are you, Mark? That's right. Big shout out to you. Everybody involved in the hockey world knows who Ovechkin is. He's a legend. He beat Gretzky's, record, of course. And that was nice, too, because Gretzky's a bit of a tit as well. So, Ovechkin, unashamedly Russian, loves his country, loves his people, a real gentleman, a real hero of the sport. And guess who's really pissed off about that? Augie, it's old Gonch. Let's have a look, let's have a listen. Run the video, Augie.
Speaking about foreign interference in democracy and security in Europe, the most dangerous is definitely Russian interference. And please do not oversimplify it. It's not just propaganda, diplomacy, it's everything. Russian hockey player Ovechkin? No, he is not hockey player. He is Putin's instrument, Ovechkin. Волк в овечкиной шкуре. Russian so-called church and patriarch Kirill? No. This is FSB General Kirill, who serves not God, but Putin. Russian opera diva Netrebko, whom you now again welcome in London and Paris. No, it's Putin's diva Netrebko and Putin's instrument. Be aware. And now I want to address to Russians, so I will switch to Russian. Россияне, вы все за крошечным исключением тех, кто реально борется против Путина. Вы, вне зависимости, где вы живете, в своих деревнях с украденными унитазами или рассекаете по Средиземноморью на украденных яхтах. Вы, которые поддерживаете Путина или молчите, вы все такие же убийцы, please, как и он. Все вы конченые мрази. И единственное, что вы можете сделать, встать на колени и покаяться. И, может быть, вас простит он, Бог. Говорят, он всех прощает.
Beautiful. Yeah. We love you, Gunch. We love you. We love you, Gunch. So while old Goncharenko there talks about instruments, that, you know, Ovechkin isn't a 6'3" beast on the ice, and he's not the greatest hockey player of all time. Facts, Gunch, facts. He's an instrument to Putin. Yeah, just like a cloud that drifts across the border from Russia into Poland and rains on some dude, he slips and breaks his ass. That's an instrument of Putin too, you clown. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode. So it's goodbye from Augie and I until next time. This week, we've kind of seen that no matter how bad things get for the elites, they still always manage to have their finger in the pie. They still always manage to, you know, get the upside. They're going to make money regardless of what happens to you, your family. You're going to be the tax capital. You're going to pay for it all. They're getting the big pension. They're getting the big gig in Brussels. And we know a thing or two about that. So it doesn't really matter. It's heads, they win, and tails, you lose. You're screwed. But anyway, at least we'll be here next week, same time, same place, to help you sort of navigate your way through the show. We'll see you then. Until then, mind yourselves, take care of each other. Ciao, ciao.